This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, January 17th, 2018. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly. Dr. Vicki Hunter is away on assignment, and so Michael Kelly is, of course, here with us as well. Welcome, Michael.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
And Dr. Hunter is on a very, very important assignment for the church. She is at her granddaughter's birthday party. Very important. Very important. So we hope they're having a good time. Anyway, I'd like to welcome everybody to the program tonight. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, we have several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, our flagship school that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical science, spiritual counseling, holistic life coaching, holistic healing, hypnosis, paranormal science, and many other areas. And Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees as well at tfuniversity.org. I'd like to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief. These pretty much form the foundation of ICMH Church. First one is, do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. The expanded version of these 9 principles of belief can be found at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So, good to have everybody with us tonight in the chat room, as well as those listening to the archive version. Appreciate your time. Tonight, speaking of time, tonight, to get this discussion off and going, we're going to talk about time. And Michael has got some major revelations on time. Take it away, son.
Well, no pressure there. But basically, the reason I find the concept of time such an interesting thing is because it's not really the same to any two people. To one person, time's going to go by in a flash, their day is gone. To another, it goes by much slower. It's a lot about perception. And it's because of that perception, because of our, as a human being, in the flow of time, our perspective limits our perception of the overall arc of time, I think. And so I think time, in and of itself, how it works, the mere existence of it, if we could gain a better understanding of what exactly it is, then that would be a key to understanding the overall structure of existence. Because no matter what, no matter what your belief it is, whatever you think the afterlife is, all of it must exist in some sort of structure. It's some existence. There's a sacred geometry almost to things, and that's a whole other thing, which I'm not going to support or not. It has some interesting points to it, but it's, time, is it a river? Is it a flow? We talked a few weeks ago, maybe even a couple of months ago now, about the concept of reincarnation, and possibly when you leave this existence, this world, this reality, and go into the afterlife. And for the sake of this argument, let's say that reincarnation is true. Do you always go forward in time into your next life, or do you go back? Is it always linear?
Yeah, those are good questions, and we've kind of touched on those in the past. I mean, there's no reason, if in fact reincarnation is true, there would be no limitation to going backward, because, you know, time is permeable, if you've got the technology for it. But that kind of brings up a concept, and you know, and we'll have to say this is all speculation, but a concept of time and the concept of, you know, in the next chapter, in the next realm, whatever that is, you know, that there is no past, present, future. I mean, even in quantum mechanics, they touch on that. There's no past, present, future. It's all the same. And so if that's the case, then there's no precedent for only moving forward in time.
Mm-hmm. And it just seems to me that time is something that must be relative to us because of the nature of our existence. Because ultimately, you can't. I was thinking about the Big Bang. Where did it come from? You can't have a start point. You can't have something that just comes from nothing. Is that not one of the foundations of?
Yeah, but that's not necessarily what the.
I know, but it had to come from some. I know, but it was energy. So essentially, it had always been, and there's a multitude of theories about where it came from. But ultimately, that tells you that existence has always existed. There is no start point to it. It does not have a start. It does not have an end. Therefore, time is something that exists inside of it, and it's relative only to us in this life, in this realm. And
well, that may or may not be true. I mean, if there are multiple universes, then time is logically part of those. It's, you know, it's, I mean, time is intrinsic to anything. If you do something, you know, if you sweep the floor, there's a beginning and an end of starting to sweep and ending to sweep the floor, right? It doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're driving somewhere, there's a beginning and an end. The trip, whatever we do, even me starting this very sentence and ending this sentence, there's a beginning and an end. And so in, you know, time may be and likely is, and almost certainly is, quantum universal to coin a term. You know, I mean, it governs all that is, regardless of this universe or any others that may exist.
So, I mean, is it one of my great fears is that because of our, you know, we have as a human being, we have a definitive start, our existence, and an end. Does that somehow limit our ability to conceptually be aware of an existence that is separate from that, that has no beginning or end?
Well, if time is a fourth dimension, right? Time is a dimension. It's conceivable. You know, it's like, to put this in perspective, we live in a three-dimensional world plus time is the fourth dimension. Mm-hmm. Quantum mechanics, there's presumably 11 different dimensions depending on who you ask. I've heard all kinds of different numbers, but 11 seems to be the predominant one. But if you think about a two-dimensional society, you know, width and length, no height. You know, it would be probably impossible for them to contemplate or comprehend height because they don't know any. They have nothing to reference it with. Well, if you put us in the same category, we have three dimensions, you know, plus time was four dimensions. So, you know, can we comprehend a fifth dimension or a sixth? Or, you know, like I said, there's some logical, reasonable thought to conclude that there is a dimension where time is the same. I mean, the past, present, future is all the same. And so can we comprehend that? I mean, how does it all work? Well, we can speculate on that too, but, you know, can we comprehend it fully in this in this life, in this universe, in this cosmos, in this reality? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Probably not.
And I've always personally found in my life that the best, the most interesting questions to ask are the ones that have absolutely no answer.
Well, it's part of the process.
Absolutely. I'm always reminded of Albert Einstein when he said that the most beautiful thing that we can experience is the mysterious. And that's a good way to look at it, because mystery abounds in this life. But as metaphysical humanists, we're always trying to search for the truth of existence. It's part of, and merely ask, exactly, it's part of our mission, and merely asking the questions is almost a way to, there is really no answer that we could find, I mean, given the scope of our technology, our awareness as a species, but just asking the question almost broadens your mind to perceive of other things, to conceptualize other thoughts, philosophies, those abstract things that we try to put into words.
Well, let's take this concept of time in a slightly different direction now, and one in terms of hope. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the big things that religion uses to get the people is they purport to give them hope, you know, life after death. Of course, they also throw in a little hell in there too, but you know, try to control people. But basically, you know, the thing is that when you die, you go to heaven, you know, some sort, you know, and maybe there's 72 virgins there or not. I don't know. But the point is that they all teach something like that, that there is life after death. And that's okay. Fair enough. But that's one of the reasons. So if you think about the scientific concept of materialism, the capital M, you know, that's not the same as being materialistic in the world where you just want material stuff. Materialism basically means that what you see is what you get. There is no life after death. There is no paranormal. There are no ghosts. There are no spirits. There's no nothing. It's just as it. And it's very discouraging, honestly. It's rather negative. Materialist, and many scientists are materialists. Not all of them are. But that's kind of been the way it's been down over the last 100 or 200 years or so. And, of course, that's in an effort for science to divorce themselves from religion, you know, back in the 1800s. The natural philosophy, they wanted to get away from, you know, anything that would support religion. And so, you know, sometimes they swing a little too far. But now I think many of the new generation scientists are a little more open-minded, as we can see from many of the documentaries. And remember, many of them stating, I mean, the multiple worlds theory. I mean, come on, really? That sounds pretty wacky. But, you know, there's many that feel that that's the case. So, back on track now. What is time? How does time give us hope? Well, with metaphysical humanism, you know, secular humanism is a materialistic philosophy. There is no life after death. There are no spirits. There's no paranormal. There's really no psychic anything. That's secular humanism. Metaphysical humanism is much more open-minded. We're just not so open-minded our brains fall out. I mean, it's still objective. It's still trying to remain scientific. But we also recognize two different types of proof. There's objective proof, like science uses, where you can test it and prove it. That's objective proof. But there's also reasonable or rational proof, where we may not be able to prove it objectively, but the concept may be reasonable. It may stand to rational reasoning. And that's where life after death comes in. You know, to think that with all that we see in this universe, this cosmos, and that's it. We're just going to live 70, 80 years, if that, and then kick the bucket, and that's it. That makes no sense. It's just, it's the same absurdity as people who say that we're the only living planet in the entire universe. That's just absurd. It's absolutely beyond reason. And so to think that we just die and everything that we are, everything that who we are, our consciousness just ceases to exist, or, you know, and in some religions, basically, you kind of like a drop of water that goes back into the ocean where you no longer have your distinctiveness, that's also absurd. It's ridiculous. And so when we think about, I'm still getting to the point on why time gives us hope, so just bear with me. I'm just trying to lay down a foundation, lay down a path. The thing is that if it's true that on the next chapter, past the veil, as they say, once we die in this life, I don't think we die, but we die in the flesh, and we move on to the next chapter. If, in fact, the past, present, future the same, well, that opens up some possibilities. That means that the people we've lost to death, loved ones, they're basically there waiting, And if past, present, and future is the same, then it could also be argued that we're also there. Think about it, just depending on how you view the time thing. So, it gives us hope, that we get to that point and we have a greater understanding. Now we'll be capable of comprehending how everything works, at least at that level. And who knows, maybe there's a level after that. Maybe there's a bunch of levels. Maybe there's a bunch of layers to this whole greater cosmos, greater reality, greater universe or universes than we'll ever know. And whether somebody created it, it makes sense. It has to come from somewhere, but not in the way that most religions teach. Did it come from somewhere? I couldn't tell you. When it comes to that, I'm agnostic.
Go ahead. This is, well, two things. One, I'm just going to take a detour to say, I think human beings are creators. We create things. We, be it art, be it engineering, be it just bringing a town together, whatever it may be, human beings are creators. So it seems only natural that when we would think of, when we get together to try to figure out how did this all come to be, we would think, well, somebody more advanced than us probably created it, because that's what we do. We make tools, we make things. We are creators, and creative people are some of the most interesting people in the world. And that's just a little side detour about, I kind of think, where some of the traditional dogmas and theories about the origin of existence come from. But back to time, as a metaphysical humanist, time gives me hope in the sense that there is so much mystery to it, there's so much yet we do not understand, that for anyone to definitively say that this is it seems ludicrous, that you can definitively say that. The best thing that you can say is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, time is relative, too. I mean, Einstein proved that with, MC squared, right?
E equals MC squared?
Yeah. And so, the speed of light presumably is the speed limit of the universe. I don't believe that. But in most cases, it probably is, unless technology advances to warp speed. But the thing is that time is relative. And so you're right when you said different people perceive time differently. In fact, GPS satellites, they have to adjust for time because of the distance involved and the speed and so forth that they're going versus what we're going. So it all has to be adjusted because of the time is relative. The faster you go, then the slower or the faster time outside of you goes. If you went on a rocket near the speed of light for one day, the world around you would probably advance decades. Or I don't know how long it would be technically, but decades, a long time. So you perceive time as one day, but the rest of the world would perceive decades as passing. So even on minute levels, we perceive time differently. That's why we have expressions. Hey, wow, time really flies, doesn't it? And, I know that. I've known that all my adult life. I remember vividly back in the day, and I was a younger man. I was probably 27, 28, 29, 30, right in there. And I used to sit in, you know, in the easy chair with a little boy in my lap with his, what do you call those pajamas? They're all one piece onesies.
Well,
anyway, but yeah, something like that. You know, watching Star Trek and him nodding off to sleep. And we did that night after night, you know. And I remember looking down at you, son, and thinking to myself, enjoy this while it lasts, because before you know it, he's going to grow up. He's going to be an adult, and here you are, what, 31?
That's true, yeah.
Time flew.
It did for me, too. I remember that, too. And I think it's that very reason why Jean-Luc Picard is one of my major philosophical influences.
Yeah.
But, mine, too. Yeah. But it's just such a fascinating concept. And
it is. So let's put it out there that if you'd like a card pulled from an Oracle card deck, put your name in the chat room and we'll get to those. And if you have any questions, those listening to this live program, if you have any questions, let us know. Fran did make a comment in the chat room. She said, before conception, you existed as individual elements. What you are now is the joining of the elements that created you as a human system. You know, and that's, I mean, it could be. You know, that would actually conflict with reincarnation, I believe, but doesn't, you know, nobody knows. We don't know. That's the whole thing. We just don't know. All right. Jenny would like a card. Son, if you'd like to pull a card. Did I lose you?
Oh, can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you.
Yeah. Now we have to pay Verizon a royalty check. I got to remember these things.
You're
funny. Jenny, I pulled number 16, Continuity of Life, which has a certain poetry to it.
Yep.
Human consciousness transcends the physical body, allowing a new chapter of life to continue. Stability and peace is assured with continuity in the flow of day-to-day life. There is reason to hope for a favorable outcome in the face of adversity or a difficult situation. You are a living example of the continuity of life. Cherished values will continue to live and grow. Sometimes we must allow a current chapter to close so that a new chapter can begin.
See, that goes part and parcel with what we were talking about with time, continuity of life, and that's what it is. I mean, if you look at the universe, if you look at the way things are, if you look at reality, there is a continuity of life, whether you're talking about a star or a person or anything. You know, there is a continuity of life. Things progress, things evolve, things change. We, you know, there's the entropy, the great old entropy thing, you know, basically the concept that everything goes back to the dust. And that's the way it is in this universe, in this reality, you know. We live on a planet where everything eats everything else and where everything dies. It's born and dies, and it's everything. There's a beginning and an end to everything. I don't know if that's true everywhere, but that's the way it is here. But so the continuity of life, we go through changes in our life, small changes and sometimes bigger changes in our life, and we keep moving forward irresistibly. Inexorably toward whatever. And so that is just one more piece of rational reasoning, rational proof that it doesn't stop when we die.
Absolutely. Life's a lot bigger than we know yet.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I believe,
Fran.
Yeah, Fran's yeah. Next. And I'm just going to go on a roll here. Middle of the deck, I pulled number 7, Hope. It's wild card number 7. Which is...
Yeah, you tell me there's not some of these cards. I don't know what to make of it. That's another whole topic in and of itself.
Absolutely. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope in and of itself does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last fail-safe of your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
And again, that falls right in line with what we were talking. We have a hope. We all have a hope, and we don't want to lose hope. And we've talked about this in the program before, too. You know, when you're hopeless, everything is lost. But there's no reason to lose hope, no matter where you're at, what state you're in, the state of mind you're in. People, even depressed people, they'll lose hope. You don't have to, because of the continuity of life, everything continues to change. So if you don't like where you're at right now, don't worry, it'll change. And of course, we can bring about that change much sooner if we work at it. But we never want to lose hope. You know, we never want to lose hope, ever, for any reason. And sometimes it can be very hard to retain that hope, to hold on to it. But we have to have faith in everything, you know, in the reality that things will change and we can work toward that. And so that hope remains alive. Okay, right. Next is Edward. No, Gay. Dr. Mm-hmm. Gay.
All right. And another one from the middle of the deck, Dr. Gay. I pulled number 5, Law of Control. And, differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The law of control says you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave.
3 L's.
And I'm going to say I think that one was a little bit for me too. That's sometimes, this is a very good one because it is instrumental to leading a healthy life, and I hope that helps Dr. Gay. And I will say that in my experience, it's interesting, we can go through 4 or 5 cards and there's always one or two that just resonate with me. And that one did.
Yeah, and I mean, these cards are great. They're full of practical life skills, and the law of control is a huge, huge, huge beneficial, healthy lesson to learn in life, because most of the problems in our life is because we're trying to control or change something we can't control or change or shouldn't try to do that. And, you know, anytime we get exasperated with somebody or angry at somebody, really it boils down to the fact that we want to control them and we can't. And it's hard to not get angry at times, but that's really what it is. And a concept that goes right along with that is not taking ourselves too seriously, because a lot of times we'll take ourselves too seriously. We think we need to see somebody change something, and as long as their actions are not adversely affecting our life, then we just let them be. That's their path to walk. Now, if their actions are adversely affecting our life, then we may need to bring it up, but we can always bring it up with sharing a concern, rather than insisting on trying to change or control somebody. So that's a great card. It's a great mm-hmm. life lesson that I wish I'd learned a lot sooner than I did. So, and you know, it takes for reminders too on this stuff. That's one of the reasons why this program is good, because it serves as reminders. We know a lot of the stuff we know, but we need to be reminded. It needs to come back out on the table every now and then.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I don't see anybody else in the live chat that wanted a card. So as we've done in weeks past, perhaps we could pull one for the week ahead.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if we've done that exactly, but...
Well, theme for the week.
There we go. Another way... Oh, well, this is... kind of fitting, actually. It's number 21, Insight and Wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions.
Good. Now, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to pull a card that will mean something to somebody who's listening to this. I don't know why, I'm just moved to do that. So pull a card.
All right. Well, I pulled number 20, deliberate intent.
Okay.
The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is you desire. It is not magic. It requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
Good. That's another great life lesson. And that is the way of the world, the way of the reality that we mm-hmm. live in. You get what you focus on. You get what you visualize. Mm-hmm. You attain what you want with emotion and intensity. And so whatever we may want, we got to focus on that, visualize on that. You know, do a visualization and go 5 years ahead into the future and to the whatever number of years, five, I'm just using as an example. Let's just assume that you've attained whatever it is you want. Maybe it's a year, maybe it's 3 years, whatever. And then live that. Try to be in that moment. How do you feel? You know, let the emotions come through. You're excited or you're happy, you're grateful, whatever. And feel it. And then step backward in time. That's what I call writing your history in advance. You know, step backward. What did you do just before that? What happened just before that that led to you achieving that? And then step back again. What did you do that led to that next step and so forth? But we have to use deliberate intent. It's a lot like the law. Well, it is the law of attraction. And if you focus on what you want and then you're cognizant and aware of opportunities that may arise to get you there, and you got to act on them, you got to jump on them. You know, you can't just let them go by or you won't get what you want. But if you do that, you will get what you want. You will attain it in due time. That has never ever failed me. I have achieved everything I've ever wanted to. I've gotten the things I've wanted to get, and a lot of times I didn't know how it was ever going to happen. I could never, you know, I think, gosh, that'll never happen. And of course, I still have things and I'm working on them, but it's always works. And I never know when it's going to happen. You know, you never know. And there's so many examples, in my own experience that where that's come true for me, because I feel like I'm entitled to that. And everybody is. You're entitled to what you want. And things that will make your life better, happier, and you just got to focus on it. But believe in it, you know, and you'll get it. That's deliberate intent. It's just the way of the world. That's the mm-hmm. way things work in this reality. We always get what we want if we hang with it.
Well, if we keep our eye on it, it's also good to remember to focus on things that are worth having, and you do get what you focus on, which is another great reminder to focus on the good in your life, because you're going to get what you focus on, and it's either going to be good or bad.
Yeah, exactly. So make sure it's good, whatever you're focusing on.
It's deliberately focusing on the things that you want in your life, And that's what you're going to get out. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we've had a good discussion. Talked about time. Talked about a number of different things related to that. Continuity of life, hope, law of control, insight and wisdom, and deliberate intent. We appreciate everybody's time tonight. We appreciate those joining us live as well as those listening to the archive. We hope that it's benefited you as well. Next week, we're going to have a special guest on, Reverend Rodney Kelly, no relation. And he's going to be talking about auras and some different things that he's doing. And he sounds like an interesting guy, so we'll look forward to having him on next week. And Dr. Hunter will be back with us then as well. So until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.